Chapter 22. Through the Water. We've seen how vital it is for you to take a step of faith to take advantage of what Jesus has done. I mentioned that for me, it was a deliberate prayer to God when I was just a kid. But there is a better way, recognized by Christians in every generation, baptism. To see what that's all about, let's return to another signpost. The Red Sea, signpost 4. After the Passover, the Israelites left Egypt en route to the Promised Land. We could say, I suppose, that my prayer of faith as a boy was the equivalent of my participation in that Exodus. The blood had been shed, the way out was clear, and I took it. So far, so good. But you'll recall that shortly after leaving Egypt, the Israelites found themselves on the shores of the Red Sea, with Pharaoh's horses and chariots coming up behind to take them back to slavery. That's when God stepped in to make the break with Egypt final. He parted the waters so that they could cross on dry land, while the waters swept back down on the pursuing Egyptians and drowned them all. The Apostle Paul sees in these events a picture of Christian baptism. Our ancestors, he says, all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the sea. What is he getting at? First, you need to understand that the word baptize means literally immerse. In some branches of Christianity, baptism is administered by pouring or sprinkling water from a font onto the person being baptized. That's fine, as far as it goes, but scholars agree that baptism from the start was by dipping the person right under the water, in the sea, a river, or a pool. It was an act of immersion. They went under and came up spluttering and joyful. That's behind Paul's statement that the Israelites all passed through the Red Sea, emerging safe and sound at the far side. Yes, but wait a minute, you're thinking. They didn't pass through it in the sense of being submerged or even getting wet. Exactly. That's the whole point. They came through alive and well. When a person is plunged beneath the water in baptism, if they're held under for more than a moment or two, they will end up dead. Then they will emerge not spluttering and joyful, but silent and deceased. All this is a key part of the symbolism of baptism. The act is a kind of mini-death. We go down under the water into death and then come up from it alive in resurrection. It's a reenactment of the sufferings of Jesus, allegiance to whom we are pledging by being baptized. He went down into death for us, then came up again in resurrection. The person being baptized is saying, in effect, I too am now dying, saying a final farewell to my previous lifestyle. And as I emerge from the water, I'm rising again to a new way of life altogether. The Israelites passed through the sea and emerged safely at the far side. They were alive. What was dead were their oppressors. Imagine them standing on the far shore and looking back across the water towards Egypt. The threat was gone. Any thoughts of a return to Egypt were now ruled out. There was only one way left to go, forward to the Promised Land, united under Moses' leadership. The old life of slavery was gone forever now. New life was theirs as they pursued their destiny as free people. Little wonder the prophets and psalmists of Israel, for generations after the event, looked back at the Red Sea crossing as one of the highlights of their national experience of God. If you have come to a point of readiness to put your faith in Jesus and all he has done, you need to get baptized. That could be your means of taking that vital step. Baptism is such a drastic physical event that you will never forget it. Even if you have water sprinkled or poured on you, rather than being immersed, it's far more memorable than saying a prayer of commitment, no matter how sincere that prayer may be. Sometimes, after many years of living as a follower of Jesus, especially when the pressure is on, it's easy for the memories of a prayer, even one said out loud, to become a bit hazy. But you can't get hazy about being baptized. It's a messy, splashy, material event in the company of fellow Christians rejoicing all around you. As such, it becomes a helpful marker to which you can look to get your bearings when going through trouble, doubts, or worries years later. For me, baptism took place a couple of years after my prayer of commitment, and I remember it well. I wish it had taken place sooner. There's one other thing to note about the Red Sea experience. To quote Paul more fully, the Israelites were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What's this cloud bit? In the Bible at large, clouds are a common metaphor for the presence of God. For the Hebrews after the Exodus, his presence manifested itself in his guiding them through the desert by a pillar of cloud, which at night shone like fire. So to be baptized in the cloud means in God, to be immersed in God. We see this happening when we come to the New Testament. There we find the first believers in Jesus, at or around the time of their baptism in water, being also baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's a way of saying they had a conscious experience of being immersed in God. This still happens today and is a powerful confirmation of God's presence with you. Be open to it. So give serious thought to being baptized. Your background, of course, may be one in which your parents took you as a baby to be baptized in a church that practices infant baptism. They doubtless did so in all sincerity, doing what they believed was best for you. They likely made promises on your behalf. Later, as you grew older, you may or may not have chosen to be confirmed to show that following Jesus was now your personal choice. But maybe, looking back on all that, you realize you didn't have any real personal stake in it, whereas now you're pursuing God seriously and want to take a conscious step of faith. There's no reason at all why you should not now be baptized by immersion to achieve just that. There is something wonderfully decisive about baptism. It could spell the difference between a radical change of direction in your life and continuing to vaguely think about religion. Are you ready to embrace the challenge?